Patriot Mobile. In addition to bringing you affordable cell phone service, and you're not going to wait for 5,100 hours if you have a question or you need to talk to somebody, because Patriot Mobile, they have an entirely 100% U.S.-based customer service team. These people, I think, love talking to folks. My mom kept one on the phone for like 40 minutes. I'm not even kidding you. And she just like called for, was Nana. She just like called for one question and ended up, she was like, he was such a friendly guy and we talked about his truck. I'm like, okay, but that's his job. You can't, anyway. And they don't even know that she was my mom. You can trust that they're not going to be taking your money and funding gun control or DEI or CRT or advocating for taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control. And with Patriot Mobile, you have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the best service in your area, but you're not funding the far left. Keep your phone, keep your number. You can upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. And don't forget to ask about that coverage guarantee. Free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana and switch today or call 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to mention offer code Dana to get that free activation. Patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
I think in areas where prices went up, you know, really a great deal and were highly elevated, you know, there you want to see prices come down, not just disinflation, but deflation. So let me hit you with a few numbers. So airline tickets down 13% over the past year, car rentals 10%, eggs 22%, Thanksgiving dinner, to be a bit topical, down 4.5% with turkey down about 6%. That's deflation. That is lower prices in those areas.
All right, spin, 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 Mr. Jared Bernstein, spin meister for the Biden administration. Welcome to the Dana Show, and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Sergio Sanchez, filling in for my friend Dana Lash, and on behalf of yours truly and Dana and family, I hope you have a very safe and delicious Thanksgiving weekend. Stick around. I got some great information for you today. Well, on this Thanksgiving weekend, you got Jared Bernstein at the White House. Hey, well, you got prices for airfare are lower and car rentals and eggs and so on and so forth. And there were some double-digit decreases that are impressive. Some of that is supply chain. But if you look at everything that you and I spend on, and it all starts with energy. I've said this before. It also, there's no reason for us to be paying this much for energy, even, you know, despite the fact that energy is a bit less expensive now than same time last year. It's still north of where it should be because America is rich when it comes to the energy assets that we have. You know, petroleum, you know, the standard fuel that everybody uses, the lifeblood of the American economy. You know, the one that people gravitate to because the vehicles are easier to fix. You just need an oil change. They're not going to leave you stranded in the middle of an interstate out there somewhere when it's below freezing temperatures that are coming to the Midwest, coming to the South. That's why electric vehicles are less popular right now. And for all the spinning from Jared Bernstein out the White House, out of the Biden White House, and how some things are less expensive right now, cumulative over the past, put it 36 months, closer to 36 months, COVID-related, we're looking at inflation that is still way too high. We're looking at inflation overall, cumulative. Again, looking at the 15, 18, 20, 6, 7, 8, 3 plus, we're looking at inflation compared to 3 years ago that is north of 25%. So anything that is not going down north of 25% is still too expensive to where it should be compared to just a few years ago. Turkey is less expensive. That's the good news. I had a report earlier from a friend up in North Texas that reported, good news, turkey is less expensive, but everything else, all the soft stuff, that's more expensive going into the season. For all, you know, everything that you need for the stuffing, you know, the veggies, the celery, the what else, green beans, maybe put some bell pepper in there. All the soft stuff, the corn, carrots, all that stuff's more expensive this year. Slight decrease in your Thanksgiving dinner for this year. That's what's in the news. But it's supply and demand, and the supply is still trying to catch up with the demand. And part of the demand problem, one is, like I told you, energy, more expensive to send to market. Number two, demand has been high for more than 24 months because the federal government, the Biden administration, the Fed, they have been printing anything. They've just been creating out of whole cloth, just out of thin air, they've been creating money. All these payments to which is now payments to states, payments to contractors, people who landed those big contracts that, you know, spend your grandkids' money. But at the beginning, all these stimulus checks that were handed out, all the extended unemployment checks were provided for everybody. If you got more cash in your pocket and nothing on the shelf, you're willing to pay a heck of a lot more for the stuff that's not on the shelf. That's why we had so much rampant inflation for all the things that we ran out of. Too much cash in the market. Too high energy cost. Too much cash in the market. And there go too much inflation. The tune that, man, we approach cumulative over the past 36 months. Man, you could easily make an argument that we're, you know, closer to 30% higher. I was really kind saying about 25%, closer to 30%. And the numbers have not gone down. For the 4% decrease in the Thanksgiving meal that we're enjoying this holiday season, compared to this time last year, 4% decrease. Yes, maybe eggs are 15 to 20%, but milk is less, other protein is less expensive as well. Not beef, though. Beef, they're still trying to catch up. Everything's still too expensive. And that, amigo, that is why Joe Biden, despite all the spinning and he and his people trying to sell that the economy is doing great, then he created, you know, 13 million jobs like no other administration. Of course, those are jobs that came back, that were lost and came back because of COVID. All this wonderful economic data that they're trying to spin, they can talk to you till they're blue in the face. And they ain't never going to convince you because you know, like I know, I mean, I'm in my family budget, I'm looking at the cost of dining out that has increased, man, after everybody gets it. Look, the way I've cut back, I don't know about you, but the way I cut back, I'm drinking more water, which is healthy. Mama and my wife, she always drinks water, which is more healthy. My 16-year-old, I kind of elbow and nudge Noah and say, hey, drink water. That's like $2.99, maybe $3.50 per soft drink, right? That's $10. You already try to shave off the bill. And of course, the little one, the spoiled one, he wants a Sprite with his kids' meal. But if I can convince him to drink some water, I'm saving about anywhere between $10 and $12 when we go eat out somewhere. And I know you're looking at that as well. I know that dining out is a lot more expensive. It is, I want to say, at least, man, 20% to 25% more. At least 20-25% more than what we were paying before the pandemic. And I'm trying to cut back. The cost of food, going to the grocery store. Around here, you may have heard that, you know, in Texas, here in the South, we have, you know, I don't know what the name of, you know, Piggly Wiggly or Albertsons or Kroger in your part of the country. Around here, we have a grocery store I lovingly refer to as H.E. Butt. Because I don't know, it's like an institution, and you guys in North Texas, you guys barely getting it. H-E Butt, the last name is Butt, B-U-T-T. You know, they got the last laugh in life, but look, man, I'm paying at least 30% more, and I'm trying to cut back with some of the extras. And that's worming its way into our monthly budget. Eating out, trying to avoid that as much as I can. Going to H-E Butt, going to the grocery store, man, about 30% more. And thank God, I look to heaven and I say, Lord, thank you for gainful employment. Thank you, you know, that we still do some solid business here at the News Talker here in South Texas that I represent. Proud affiliate for the Dana Show, KURV, where business is strong and it's good. My part of the world, the economy down here is really, really strong here. And Texas is strong. Even South Texas, many times people say, look at the poorest region of the country. It's the Mexican border, RGV. It's like, shut up already, man. We got stuff you guys don't have. Many of you guys in port cities, you wish you had like liquefied natural gas distribution nodes. We got like $18-20 billion private sector investment coming to deep South Texas at the Port of Brownsville. Right there, right next to the port, we got Elon Musk. That's right. He's my neighbor. That's why I say Elon Musk, my neighbor. Dude has a house there in Brownsville, Texas. That's me, man. That's our market. We got the spaceport to the moon, the spaceport to Mars right here. Our economy is going by leaps and bounds in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. It's a great place. We got computer chip manufacturing, and the smart business people are discovering the Texas market, the Texas labor market, Texas manufacturing, low taxation, all that stuff. That's why they're coming to Texas as quickly as possible. And I'm thankful for that, because from that, all ancillary entities, including advertising, TV, and you know, radio, yours truly, everybody else. But all the taxation entities have to shave some of the gold off the golden goose, the golden egg from that goose. They get the money. So we all benefit from the growing economy down here. And I say that as I look to the heaven and look to the heavens and say, thank you, Lord, for gainful employment, for prosperity. And I say this because despite the fact that at least 25-30% more is leaving my pocketbook, my bank account on a monthly basis, and my family is still comfortable and still happy and, well, fat and not having to worry about paying the exorbitant light bill. That's another thing some of y'all can't pay these days. It's ridiculous. These light bills, you know, for a standard house, it's, you know, 2,500 square feet. That's what we enjoy in Texas, by the way. You guys listening in California, 2,500 square feet, that'd be a castle for y'all. But that's the standard size in Texas. We got light bills $450 a month. $450 a month. We had gasoline bills that are more expensive now than they were last go around. We got water bills that are almost twice as much. All of that stuff just worms and just corrodes and erodes everything that we work so hard for. I'm feeling it. I'm noticing it. I'm thanking heaven that I can still make it and still have a little extra to go eat out every now and then, even though it's more expensive. But I know the pain, and that's why, despite all the selling, all the spinning, anything that Joe Biden will say about job creation, about prices coming down, no, I don't know how they're going to come down to close to being pre-pandemic. I don't know how everybody else, you guys tuning in, working for a living, trying to pay your light bill, trying to pay your water bill, trying to pay for your food. This Thanksgiving, you know, I say a prayer for my fellow Americans, and you guys answering all the polls out there, that's why the data is not coming back good for Joe Biden and the Democrats, because inflation hurts and will continue to hurt, and we will not see food prices and fuel prices and energy prices go down by 25-30% anytime soon. And take this into next year. And put on top of that, and the fact that people vote with their pocketbook, put on top of all that, the fact that we have an old man, a senile old man, a weak old man who projects weakness and senility and incompetence to the rest of the world. That is the figurehead. That is the face. That is the name that represents the United States right now. We are 1 year away from the presidential election, and it may as well be an eternity. See, let me go back. But all the polling data and how people are not happy, businesses are not optimistic about the near future and operations, and all the polling data that I laugh at when I hear, you know, Emerson College or Quinnipiac or who else is running all these polls. I laugh because people at the moment, they're expressing their pain to the pollsters. I mentioned Emerson College. Here's one that popped up in my stack. It said 47%, Emerson College, 47% support Donald Trump for president right now. Only 43% say Joe Biden. And this mirrors polling data for the last several months now. There was one I saw yesterday. I want to say it's NBC. It was shocking. It was like 47-41 Trump over Biden. People want to change. It can't come fast enough. Sadly, friends, you got to wait a whole nother year. A year and a month and change. It's like 13 more months of this pain, the inflation that is not going away. You just get used to it, find another job. But some of those job openings, you might have to do like Dave Ramsey would say, go get a second or third job to make ends meet and hope and pray that things get better in the future. And I do believe that they would get better under a Trump administration. That's just my opinion. Well, I mean, some of y'all wincing, bristling, going, what? What'd you say, Trump? Yeah. Come on. Trump's going to be the nominee. You know Trump's going to be the nominee. Come hell or high water, Donald Trump is the nominee for the Republicans. He is going to win. Forget the nomination. It's already in the bag. I believe he wins the election just because I believe this pain, the pain at the pump, the pain at the grocery store, the pain for buying clothing, the pain for energy, I don't think that's going away in 12 months. And it's T minus less than 12 months for the next presidential election. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. As always, it's an honor to join us on this massive program. Thank you, Dana. Big hug to you and Chris. Hug and a kiss to all the family at The Dana Show. Hope you can join us the rest of the afternoon. I got a conversation I want to share with you with Father Frank Pavone. There was a bishop, a priest in North Texas, Tyler. They got canned by the Pope for, in essence, being Catholic. I'm going to share that conversation with you a little later on this hour. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Our friends over at Wise Foods want to make sure that you are prepared, because the last thing you want to worry about if an emergency happens is where your next dinner is going to come from. Where's your next meal coming from? So this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. You can save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit. Get free shipping at preparewithdana.com. 2-bucket 4-week survival food kit includes 2,200 calories plus 64 grams of protein per day. A 28-day supply. All the food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients. It's freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare. You just add water. 25-year shelf life. They have all kinds of dishes included, everything you can think of, wonderfully prepared, easy to get ready. Order yours today at preparewithdana.com and save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit plus free shipping. That's preparewithdana.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Live from South Texas, The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. Chain restaurants across New York City must now post added sugar on all their menus. It's a new law that kicked in up in New York recently. U.S. firing back at Iran-backed militants in Iraq. Some of these militants, yeah. Terrorists, how about that? Islamic terrorists, how about that? Okay. Well, back to the news writer. U.S. Central Command saying that the airstrikes took place against stations that may have been lobbying ammunition, loving bombs, and drones at U.S. forces in the Middle East. And the studio behind the last two Scream movies has dropped the lead actress from Scream 7 over social media posts that were deemed anti-Semitic. Stick around The Dana Show for a Thanksgiving weekend. Why is the Pope so leftist? My conversation with Father Frank Pavone coming up later on The Dana Show.
Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Is deflation coming on the horizon? The prices of things like eggs, chicken, and seafood have dropped, and energy prices have plummeted. Although people don't feel secure about their financial situation, could you be receiving an early Christmas present? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
While in San Francisco, I also met with President of Mexico. Together, we committed to expanding law enforcement cooperation and intelligence sharing to better disrupt the flow of fentanyl and dismantle the violent chemical groups that traffic synthetic drugs in our communities. We made record seizures of fentanyl at the border this year, intercepting these dangerous drugs before they can get into the United States.
Yeah, the record seizures of fentanyl at the border, at my border, by the way, here at McAllen, part of the border with Mexico, from San Diego to south of Tucson, you know, El Paso, Eagle Pass, and right here at McAllen, Brownsville. All this poison crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. That's Joe Biden, of course. If you were able to make sense of what he said, he's saying that that he, his White House, working with Mexico, trying to disrupt the flow of all this poison. We've had, what is it, like 110,000 plus Americans die poisoning themselves or accidentally, right? They're either taking a recreational drug laced with fentanyl, super deadly fentanyl, or maybe somebody nearby touched some residue and now they're gone. So he's, Biden claiming he's, you know, in his conversations with Xi Jinping, you know, Pooh Bear from China recently in the Lemony, right now, I'm wondering if it's still Lemony Fresh, Northern California, San Francisco, because, you know, Gavin, good here, Gavin Newsom did admit that his state government, along with City Hall in San Francisco, they did clean up all the streets in San Francisco because Pooh Bear was coming to town. And they need to put unfurl all the Chinese communist flags that they had in inventory. It's amazing how many they had in inventory. They had Chinese communist flags all over the place. And, you know, Pooh Bear in town and no more homeless people. You know, scrub and spray wash all the poop and urine off the streets and pick up all those needles. Pick them all. In San Francisco, all of a sudden, looked like the San Francisco of old. The one that I remember going with my wife. It just newly married 25 years ago. I think it was like 5 years into our marriage. We went and enjoyed Fisherman's Wharf, Alcatraz. We just, you know, took in all the sights, went a little north of there and saw the beauty of Northern California. And we haven't gone back because we hear all these nasty headlines about, you know, poop-filled streets and all that. So, at that meeting with Xi Jinping in Northern California, he said, Mexico, going to work with them. Just a bunch of bureaucratic speak. In fact, Biden, as far as follow-up to the claims that Xi Jinping's going to crack down on some of these factories producing the chemicals for the deadly fentanyl, you think there's going to be some accountability, some team, you know, kind of like they do with the Russians, you know, when they dismantle their nukes and we dismantle our nukes and we send teams to go inspect, okay, what happened to these factories? We know that this factory is producing this chemical, that chemical for all. Is that going to happen? No. Cut seven, Steve.
During my meeting with President Xi, we took a critical step of resuming counter-narcotics cooperation between our two countries. It was one of the important things we agreed upon. In 2019, China essentially stopped direct shipments of fentanyl from China to the United States. But in the years since, the drug trade has evolved. It's moved from finished fentanyl to fentanyl components.
Yeah, and as far as doing any, you know, verifying what's being, as far as the crackdown by Xi Jinping, yeah, Joe Biden saying he's just going to take Xi's word on this. I guarantee you one thing that will come of this, the U.S. promised that they will back off against the institution in China going after the Uyghur community, you know, that Chinese agency that is arresting, enslaving in camps and using them as slave labor, torturing and killing all these Uyghur, the minority. The U.S. taking its hand off of their oversight of that Chinese agency, I guarantee you that will be taking place. As far as the whole fentanyl thing, yeah, don't put any money on the table. Don't bet anything on that. All right, here's the conversation I promised you. Yeah, is it possible to be too Catholic in your faith these days? It's strange times that we live in. Something on the news radar from just a few days back, a story I believe that should have garnered more coverage, more attention from the information channels. My conversation with Father Frank Pavone. Go ahead, Stephen. From Priest for Life, I want to welcome back to the program a servant of God, Father Frank Pavone, precious pastor, father. How are you, my friend? It's good to talk to you again.
I am doing great. It is so good to be on with you again. Thanks for reaching out.
Well, we have a story out of Texas. Bishop Joseph Strickland, he was called for being, I guess, too conservative. Or as the Babylon Bee posted in one of the little jokes, they said, Tyler, Texas Bishop Joseph Strickland has been fired by Pope Francis for being Catholic. Okay. What can you please explain to working people what happened in this case to Joseph Strickland, Bishop Joseph Strickland? I mean, for all the headlines that we hear every now and then of men who fall and disobey God and abuse kids and women or whatever, have for financial issues, whatever. This guy gets canned from what we see for being too conservative, too pro-life. He criticizes the Pope too much. So what happened in this case?
Well, you know, Sergio, this is something that, as you say, everyone is seeing what has been going on. You know, he has stood out among the bishops for taking a strong stand in what we would call the culture wars. You know, when the Dodger Stadium had these this mockery of Catholic nuns, you know, in favoring and celebrating transgender and everything. You know, he was the only bishop that got out there with a whole big group of peaceful, prayerful Catholics to protest this stuff. And he's one of the only ones being very, very strong, for example, in speaking against the Biden administration and all the big pro-abortion stuff that he and his people are doing in the Democrat Party. So on and on, I mean, there's numerous examples where he is standing as many Catholics stand in these culture wars. Now, I call what happened now, I mean, first of all, exactly what happened was that he was told by the Pope that he no longer has his position as the Bishop of Tyler, Texas. So bishops have, you know, various different roles, and usually they are in charge of a you know, a geographical area called a diocese. But the Pope has said, no, you don't have the authority anymore as the Bishop of Tyler. So essentially, it's like a forced retirement. He's still a bishop. You know, he still can celebrate the sacraments and whatnot, but he's not in that position. Now, I call this the weaponization of church government, and I think that for all our listeners who have been following closely the weaponization of civil government in America, and, you know, we recently had the release of that film called Police State, which is very, very instructive for people to see.
Yes.
What we have is this. This is the reversal. In the American system of justice, you go after a crime in search of a person. Crime happens, let's go find out who did it and punish them. In a police state, you go after a person in search of a crime. You target somebody you don't like because of the positions they take, and then you say, let's treat them as a criminal. We'll find some excuse, you know, to pin on them. So this is happening in American civil government, and sadly, it is obviously happening in the church.
And they say in the Standard News write-up, it says that he was requested to resign because of complaints that the Vatican had received over governance. I don't know what that means. I know that he's been a lightning rod front lines of culture wars and holding the line to Scripture and not deviating from that and standing up for life. And as you mentioned on the life issue, he was the one, right, that was making headlines for calling Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi that they not be given communion because they're Catholics in name only. Yeah. And then they're militant abortionists, calling for abortion on demand, even to the point of birth. They stand for that. He was the one that was calling
exactly
for that.
That's exactly right.
Right? Right.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, and as you know, I mean, I've been punished for the very same thing. I mean, we it's like, hey, everybody who should be doing this, clergy and laity alike, should be calling out these people. But and now we're in a strange situation where we're the ones that get punished for it. But, you know, what you said is very, very I want to emphasize something very, very enlightening. You know, you said, well, you know, it's unclear what the reason really is, you know, matters of governance. And again, you look at the parallel, how President Trump is being treated, and whatever people think of him politically, we got to see the pattern here. When those impeachments were launched against him, what did they say? Oh, abuse of power. I mean, that's similarly vague. It's like, what in the world are you actually talking about? And the reality is, they don't want to specify, they can't specify what they're talking about, because if they revealed their true reasons, they, rightly, would be ashamed of themselves. This man, you know, we don't want to raise up kick up too much dust over abortion, because our friends, you know, in the Democrat Party are going to get mad at us. You know, this is the kind of pettiness that these people are going after. Now, you know, I was with Bishop Strickland for a very big portion of time recently. We were both speaking at the same conference, and we went to a couple of different events together. And, you know, anybody who has spent time with him is always impressed by his humility. I mean, this is not a man who's out there rebelling against the church or, you know, going on some kind of arrogant, you know, self-serving campaign. This man is just the opposite of that. He feels, as so many of us do, that, you know, we have a duty to God. God has given us a mission, and it's a mission of service. And this is what this man is all about. And he told me, this was like last month, he said, you know, he said, they might ask me to resign. He said, but I am not going to walk away from the work God has given me to serve this flock. So he already had his mind made up. I'm not going to voluntarily resign. If they want me out of here, they're going to have to force me out.
Tyler, Texas Bishop Joseph Strickland, in essence, fired by Pope Francis. We've known Strickland to be quite vocal for the truth and for Scripture and for holding the line. Sin is sin, and yes, the body of Christ is always open to the LGBTQ community. But like Christ said, you know, stop sinning. Just he always repeating, you're forgiven, but stop right. sinning. All those things, because of his so-called hard line, as the leftist and the media would describe, he's been, in essence, fired from being bishop up in Tyler, Texas. And no clarity on these procedures and complaints and the unorthodox. What's the complaint against? All we see is truly a godly man, bishop, holding the line for truth and Scripture, who is a critic of Pope Francis, canned by Pope Francis. Of the many people that likely should be canned that are not properly representing the church and the body of Christ, Pope Francis goes after this guy. And I'm, again, left shaking my hand. Why is Pope Francis that way? Father Frank Pavone joining me right now from Priest for Life. Why is he so leftist? Why is he so accommodating to Marxist ideas and leftists and revolutionaries and culture that are just upending everything, it seems?
Yeah, I think a lot more of that needs to come out. He's got a lot of bad advisors. You know, who knows what kind of bigger destructive plan he is part of. You know, many talk about he's in with these globalist people. He recently met with the son of George Soros. I'm sure you saw that some weeks ago. And it's like, what is he doing meeting with these people? You know, he brings in all these left-wing political leaders from all over the world. There's a lot we don't know, but really all we need to know is what is obvious. The man is on the wrong track in many, many ways. And for us to say that as Catholics, I want those Catholics that are listening to realize that when we have concerns like this, and even when we voice concerns like this, that doesn't mean we're being disloyal to our faith. You know, all human beings, we're all sinners. The Pope would be the first one to admit that. And we all publicly admit it when we say Mass, right? We say, I confess to Almighty God that I have sinned. People should not feel that, oh, I can't even talk about this because I have to be a faithful Catholic. Listen, I'm a faithful Catholic. Bishop Strickland is a faithful Catholic. This is not about disloyalty to the church. This is about being honest with each other, pointing out problems when we see them, and trying to seek for a solution here. And above all, trying to be faithful to the church. And, you know, if I may, Sergio's mentioned that we have, there's a special website, standwithbishopstrickland.org,
okay,
where people can offer a spiritual bouquet if they want to pledge to him prayers, you know, any kind of spiritual solidarity or just a word of encouragement, standwithbishopstrickland.org. We put that together for him, and we'll be honoring the bishop in January. I don't know how many of our listeners go to the March for Life in Washington, but on the morning of that event, January 19th, we've got a prayer service, and the bishop will be there. And we're going
Excellent.
To honor him and thank him and present him with this spiritual expression of support.
Sending you a big hug, Pastor. Father Frank Pavone, thank you.
Thank you.
Soldier on,
thank you.
Brother. Soldier on in the cause of Christ. Thank you to Dr. Father Frank Pavone, and he's been on the front lines in the defense of the undelivered child. And thank you to all of y'all, Catholic family out there, that for years have been on the front lines trying to save babies and pushing back against infanticide, the murder of children. That's part of their reward, I believe, in eternity, is their fight to save the unborn. And just that internal struggle within the Catholic Church, example of internal struggles within many branches of Christianity dealing with the social issues of the day, most of it fueled by LGBTQ issues. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us today on The Dana Show, live from South Texas at her affiliate 710KURV in the Rio Grande Valley. This is The Dana Show.
Our partners who understand that it's important to be able to have good skincare, especially during a time when you got dudes peddling skincare for women. And I'm sorry, actually, I'm not at all. Women's needs are different from men's needs. Nimi Skincare understands this. And I think they might be like one of the only skincare companies, and everything's made in the US of A, where they not only acknowledge this, but they practice it with the formulations and manufacturing. And so, I mean, this solves a lot of issues. First off, if you're looking for a simple skincare routine that's effective and affordable, Nimi Skincare is the answer. They have very easy to follow routines. You know what? You don't need to slap a lot of stuff on your face. And Nimi understands this. You just need some good quality moisturizers, things that don't have tons of chemicals in them. This is conservative owned. It's made in the USA. Not only do they share your values, but they understand your needs are different. And they're not going to sit here and try to pretend otherwise. You can find them online, NIMI, NimiSkincare.com, and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Check out the Hydrate and Protect Ultimate routine, because you got all kinds of anti-aging products to cleanse, moisturize, protect the skin. It's one of their most popular lines. And they only use the best ingredients in their products, not tested on animals, no parabens, none of that stuff. Nimi Skincare products are 100% guaranteed, and they ship right to your door. And you're not compromising your values to have great skin. Visit NimiSkincare.com. That's NIMI Skincare.com. Use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I'm Sergio Sanchez, an honor always to help out my friend Dana. This is The Dana Show. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. If you're running around and traveling to see family, they say that like 50 million Americans hitting the road to go see family and friends. So you know those roads, those highways are going to be packed. So you guys be safe out there. And thanks for tuning in to The Dana Show. You want to say hi online, go to X. You know, my neighbor owns it, Elon Musk. Yeah, he lives here in Brownsville. Go to X at Sergio Talk to say hi. What the Constitution might say about AI and how there are limits on the ownership of your property. That's coming up on The Dana Show. Stick around.
As we get moving, because we have awesome people who help bring you free radio, our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And they want to save you money, because your dollar is struggling to keep up with the cost of day-to-day things. So at Patriot Mobile, you get two things here. Actually, you get a couple things. There's a bonus. First off, it's, again, the only Christian conservative wireless provider, and has been for the past 10 years. And when you make the switch, you're going to save yourself a whole bucket of money. You're going to save yourself a lot of money with Patriot Mobile. And Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the communist left. That's the thing. The money that you give them is not going into some political PAC that goes and funds gun control, CRT, abortion on demand, taxpayer funded up till birth, all of that stuff. And you're talking to one of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team members. You're helping to maintain and create more U.S.-based jobs. Keep your phone, keep your number, or get new ones entirely. The choice is yours. Ask about the coverage guarantee, and you get free activation using code Dana. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Mention offer code Dana for that free activation. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today.
A lot of people have tried to draw similarities between Mussolini and Hitler, and the use of the terminology like vermin, and the drive that those men had towards autocracy and dictatorship. The difference, though, I think makes Donald Trump even more dangerous, and that is he has no philosophy he believes in.
Former Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill, Trump is even more dangerous than Hitler. There you go. The TDS crowd still barking and wailing out there. Trump derangement syndrome. It's alive and well today, and it's headed into next year. It ain't going away. And you know what? Donald Trump, he ain't leaving either. He's not going anywhere. Welcome to hour two of The Dana Show for Thanksgiving weekend. If you're tuning in later during the weekend, and this broadcast on Wednesday, November 22nd, and for me, that's a special date for me and my wife. This is the first day November 22nd, I saw her for the first time 32 years ago today. And every now and then, I used to play lotto numbers. You know, it was like her birthday, my birthday, and then we had a firstborn, and then it was 11/22. And I haven't played the lotto in a long, long time. But it used to be one of my lotto, but it's a special date for me. Welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Happy Thanksgiving and safe travels to all of y'all tuning in to the show. And catch the podcast version later. Producer Steve, he'll do a great job and put it on all platforms. You can take in all this information on The Dana Show at the various podcast platforms. So Claire McCaskill, again, just some of those, and just part of the choir. It's a pretty big choir. Stupid choir with the suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. But sadly, look, Donald Trump ain't perfect. And yeah, he's a goofball. And yes, he loves the taste of his own shoe. And don't tell him that. Don't tell him that, because then he'll get all upset with you. He'll get all Trumpy with you. The reason that we have terms today, like, you know, fake news, you know, that's him. He's the one who took it to the media. He's the one who took it to the swamp, the establishment in Washington, D.C. Yeah, Democrat and Republican, the politicians that have been there too long. Whose fault is that? Well, the voters, various states, various precincts out there. You guys have given up on politics who don't vote, and those of you who do vote and keep sending the same clowns up to Washington, D.C., shaking up the process, shaking it up for the sake of America. America first. I think America first is the concept today. And by the way, that also is something that he championed and as part of the American political lexicon, America first, because of Donald Trump. It is a set of ideas that I believe not all of them are perfect. Just like, you know, for example, our Constitution isn't necessarily perfect as well. Oh, I may have said something that ruffled your feathers. Well, it's not. Our Constitution is as perfect as possible for the protection of liberty, as perfect as possible for the protection of your life, your liberty, your property. But I got an example coming up later in the show. There's a specific clause in there, specific section and clause in there. There's an example of how I think the Constitution worked against liberty. But anyway, I'll share that later on. Back to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, like I told you last hour, he's like 50-some-odd points way ahead of everybody. Some of the polls say, you know, it's Nikki Haley. Some of the polls say is Ron DeSantis. And see, this is, I believe we do need the voices. We do need these conversations. Because when you have the primary process, you have an opportunity to own the headlines, to take the microphone, and for just a few seconds, maybe, you know, perhaps create a little soundbite that will be consumed by working people dropping off kids in the morning, working people that are just leaving the office trying to catch up with the news, and little snippets and soundbites and the social media they're perusing through, the X feeds, the Instagram feeds, Facebook, and then on the radio, driving home at night. It's just a little bit of information they're picking up. And that's, I think that's the service that the primary process provides. But to be attacking and backstabbing, guys, look, anybody running against Donald Trump from the very, very beginning, aside from being perhaps an insurance policy for God forbid, former President Trump says, guys, the doctor just spoke with me and I only have X amount of time and I won't see you for the next, something like that. God forbid. I don't take my mind there. And I surely don't want anything ever bad to happen. Like, for example, you may have heard that this Democrat up from, is he from New York? Yeah, that New York congressman, Dan Goldman, he was slapped around a few days back for it. And he apologized, by the way. He called it poor choice of words when he was making reference to Donald Trump. He said that Trump is a danger to American democracy. We're not a democracy, people. We're a representative republic, but it's sad that the overwhelming majority of American voters, they don't understand that. We were never taught that. We have to learn that on our own. We have to go seek and read on our own to understand American liberty and how to defend it. Either way, Dan Goldman, this Democrat from New York, he said that Donald Trump needs to be, his word, eliminated. Donald Trump, unless the Lord calls him home, you know, through some natural means, or some crazy goes after him, and I don't want to say more than that. That's the only way he's not going to be. And you knew he was always going to be the nominee. I know that the courts or the Democrats through the courts are coming after him to try to take him out, take him down. They're not going to say, they may succeed temporarily. I think on appeal, in the process of appeals, everything would be reversed. But either way, if they drag him away in handcuffs, and I was going to say I dare you on that one, but the American people, the Trump base, in my opinion, I believe, is more solid today than ever before. What was that in 2020 in the sus election of 2020? Where we, because of loose election regulations all over the place, we just don't know how many ballots were stuffed. We don't know what was taking place behind closed doors that could not be monitored by election monitors, Democrat and Republican, to go in there and see, are you guys running those through the machines just once or are you doing it twice? What's going on? Let's check all this. So many questions about the sus activity during the last election, but that's behind us now. The COVID election is behind us, and all those loose issues, loose regulations, all that has been tightened up in many swing states. It's only going to take about six or seven states to make a final decision on who's going to be president next. And I do believe that in the end, first of all, is the primaries. Donald Trump is way ahead of everyone in the primaries. And like I said, unless he is no longer with us for some reason, the Lord decides to do that, or some crazy, that's the only way. And that's why Dan Goldman had to apologize for this, because saying things like needs to be eliminated, that brings up images of violence. We don't need this conversation. I mean, for all of my disappointment and my anger, the shame as an American that I feel when I see Joe Biden representing this nation, this senile old man, and the political machinery behind him that propped him up and put him out there and serve him out there every now and then. And so every now and then he'll wiggle away from oppressive, and maybe, you know, he had a depends moment, needs to change and come on back. He doesn't know half the time what he's doing, and it's sad. It's sad for him. I wish Joe Biden would have prevented him from running. It's sad for him, but it's sad for our nation, because that image, that face, that behavior, that is what we project to the world. That is how weak America is right now. It makes me sad for our nation. Donald Trump will be the nominee for the Republicans. Ain't no doubt. All the courts fights, all the lawsuits, all the prosecutions, all these leftists that are abusing their power to try to bring him down for political reasons, they will all, in the end, will be exposed. The American people see that. His base sees that. I believe that more people see that. Look, almost immediately after the election, go look for some of the polling data on all this. Almost immediately after the election, and polling data came out, they asked people, hey, would you have voted for Joe Biden had you known about, you know, Hunter Biden, the laptop from hell, the, you know, the big guy getting a partial payment from this Chinese venture for infrastructure? How about the Ukraine situation where he got the prosecutor fired for exposing Burisma corruption? Had you known all this, had all these things that have been claimed by the left Democrat supporters and Joe Biden supporters, all these people supposedly in intelligence that said all this was Russian disinformation. Oh, no, pay no attention to this. It's Russian disinformation. We got just a few days left for early vote. Get out there and vote for Joe Biden. All these people who lied to you and denied you all this information. Polling data after the election, after all this was beginning to be exposed, the laptop from hell doing everybody a favor in revealing all this truth. And more truth still needs to come out, and more power to House investigators and revealing all these lies, all this manipulation, and even by social media, all the Twitter files. Well, the American public, the uninformed American, sometimes willfully uninformed American public, they voted stupidly in 2010. They made a mistake, and now it's time to correct action. And there's a huge chunk of those people who said they would have voted different. If I remember correctly, and this is like from 2 years ago, I think it was like 16% to 18% of those people who voted for Joe Biden, they said they would have voted for Donald Trump. They would have voted differently. It all takes either not voting or voting for Donald Trump. Either way, the result would have been the same. Presto, Donald Trump would have been reelected. But because they were lied to, we were all lied to, we were all manipulated by the Democrat Party, Joe Biden apologist leftist media, and all these so-called experts who lied to us and said, this is all Russian disinformation, it's a lie, paid no attention to the man behind the curtain, there's nothing there. Yeah, people would have voted for him. So I count among the base that is rock solid. I have no doubt that the base is rock solid. It will come back in even greater numbers. So now they have kids who can vote. They have more family that are showing up and feeling the pain when they go purchase food, go purchase fuel, and pay their light bill, everything. Inflation is ridiculous. It should not be like this right now. The forced vaccination on the military, making our military weaker, forcing all these service members to quit. This mindset of this heavy-handed, iron-fisted mindset by the Biden administration, the Democrats, to force people to get the vaccine. All those things are pushing more people to the polls, in my opinion. That's why I believe he will win. As long as he's here, he's breathing, he's with us, I believe Donald Trump will be reelected, will be elected president. I'm sorry, will be elected president again. I know it's an eternity. It's a year away. But for all the people that are complaining about Donald Trump, including folks within our party. And look, I'm a big fan of Ron DeSantis. I love Ron DeSantis. I wish a person as intelligent, as informed, a good leader like Ron DeSantis, I hope that in the future, somewhere down the road, that he would have an opportunity to become president. It's Cut 16. I don't think comments like this help. Cut 16, Steve. It's Cut 16, buddy, with Ron DeSantis.
I think at the end of the day, Trump is the best turnout machine for the Democrats because he will ignite a lot of voters to want to come out and vote against him. And that gives the Democrats a big advantage. They know Biden's weak. They know that the direction of the country is poor. But that is their lifeline to be able to get if they can make the election about Trump and all these other issues, that is their best way to be able to get back into the White House.
I love you, Ron. I don't agree, sir, at all. And this is the time to be messaging what is wrong with America and why it's Joe Biden's fault and it's the Democrats' fault, and unite behind the leader you know who will carry the Republican Party despite taking all the arrows, taking all the gunfire, all incoming from the left, some of it in the form of lawsuits. He's being taken to court. It's time to stand up and defend him. Yeah, he's imperfect. So are you, Ron. We're all imperfect. But the America First mindset needs to go back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He needs those four more years, get everything in line, and hopefully maybe you can run in 4 years after that. That's just my opinion. Look, you have something else to say on this? Because I think the Democrats and their stupid policy, I think everything that's wrong, inflation, everything else is going on right now, and all the truth that's being revealed, and all the truth that's coming next year from the investigation of Joe Biden, that will be the driver sending people to vote for Donald Trump next year, in my opinion. On X, on Twitter, it's at Sergio Talk. You have a different opinion on this. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're in tune with The Dana Show from South Texas.
Thanks to the people. We're grateful for all of our sponsors who help bring you free radio year after year, like the headrest safe. I'm telling you what, you need this. You need this in your life. You need it for Christmas. I mean, treat yourself. And then get one for Christmas. It's very easy. They're also bundling it up to save you money. They reduce the price by $100. And with code Dana, you get an additional $50 off. Now, the headrest safe, it was designed as a gun safe. It's invisible, secure storage, like legit invisible. It's the passenger headrest, but it doesn't interfere with the driver's safety, nothing. Very easy to install, adjustable post system, perfect fit in any car or truck. And it secures in place with a deployable toggle bolt. You can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. You got a magnetic access door, user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader, keypad. You also got the hard key as well. You can use it for anything, jewelry, medication, cash, other valuables. This is perfect right now, especially for a lot of people road tripping it for Thanksgiving. Maybe you want to keep some stuff safe in your car. It doesn't matter if you have a firearm or not. This is where you stash it, whatever it is. And it's undetectable, absolutely seamless, blending in with your car's interior. And it's one of a kind. I mean, it's award-winning. and they have the ability to match over 80% of the materials used on headrests out there in cars available on the market. See it for yourself. Visit theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana for that exclusive $50 off. That's theheadrestsafe.com. Code Dana for $50 off. Order today, 100% money back guarantee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Getting some breaking news from Niagara Falls, New York. Beautiful area. Some sort of explosion on a bridge at Niagara Falls, New York. And there's some reports saying they had something to do with a vehicle speeding into an inspection booth on the U.S.-Canadian border. So we'll get more information on that. I'll lob that over to you. And first, when I started reading this poll, I was like, why is this a question? Why is this a poll? More than half of American voters say that they or someone they live with owns a gun. Yeah, it comes from NBC News. And I don't think their motivation was to promote more gun ownership. 52% say they own a gun. This is the Dana Show from South Texas.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there definitely is a tension between creating the time and space to get hostages out, which is a huge win, first for the families, but also for Israel, for the United States, and for other countries. And on the other hand, allowing this time where Hamas can regroup, it can rest, it can reorient itself, and yes, take advantage of this time. But this was a cost that Israel was prepared to pay because the human benefit of reuniting people with their families, especially women and children, was so profound and compelling.
It saddens me that the fact that, you know, 250 plus hostages, civilians, women, children, lots of kids taken in the country, you know, civilians taken by this terror group, Hamas. It really saddens me to this day that it doesn't get the proper coverage. This should be like drumbeat coverage day after day, much like the Iranian hostage situation, in my opinion. And I was a kid when that took place, but man, I was fixated. Thanks to my parents, you know, they barely had a fourth, fifth grade education in Mexico, but boy, they were news hounds, and I followed their steps on this. And, you know, Nightline on ABC was birthed as a result of the constant day-to-day coverage of the American hostages, the U.S. Embassy taken in Tehran by these Islamic crazies, these radicals. And I wish we had something similar today, but, you know, that's wishful thinking on my part. That was Jake Sullivan, by the way, over at NSA. So if you hadn't heard, it's a four-day ceasefire. Yeah, good luck with that. See, I wonder who's going to shoot the first grenade or rifle or blow up the first bomb. Yeah, my money's on Hamas. They'll be the first one to do that sometime over the next 24 hours. It's supposed to start, they say, tomorrow morning. I don't know what time it would be. That would be Thursday, by the way. So I know some of y'all take in the Dana Show broadcast later this week. And so Thursday was supposed to be day one of the four-day, the pause in fighting. I'm just concerned that some of these clowns are going to get away. They're going to somehow escape. That's my concern. Some of these animals that should be blown up by Israeli Defense Force, my concern is that they're going to get away. But again, 50 women, children, hostages supposed to be released by Hamas. I'll believe it when I see it. I had another story here related to all this. A lot of backlash for people mouthing off ignorantly and supporting these animals, the terror group Hamas. Here it is. Actress Susan Sarandon being dropped by her Hollywood talent agency. As a report says, 77-year-old Sarandon was dumped by her talent agency for anti-Jewish rants online and talking in support of Hamas and Palestinians. Hey, a little bit more on that poll I mentioned towards the end of the last segment. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to share with you a conversation here in just a little bit, so stick around. The property ownership, you know, is codified by the Constitution. You think that we own our property the remainder of our life, pass it on to our kids and for our progeny to enjoy. That's not the case. I had a conversation with Professor John Riz because, you know, as talking about Susan Sarandon and you know, the Hollywood actors and all these people that are trying to pin down future financial benefit for their images, for their voices, for their name, for it not to be used and abused and somebody else making a profit out of their image. I mean, this is, for me, quite the salient issue. I know for some of y'all who are performers in any way, it could be in news, could be public speaking, you could have books out there, you have any type of performance. Because of artificial intelligence, you know, the fight right now is for these actors, voice actors, and just regular actors to protect their image, protect their voice, so they get some residual from who they are. I make a living by flapping my gums on the radio. I mean, I don't want anybody taking my voice and pretending to be Sergio Sanchez out there and then having a talk show and endorsing stuff. That's just me. That's what I do for a living. So intellectual property is not treated the same as just hard assets, land, vehicles, stuff like that. And that conversation coming up in just a little bit. Oh, my goodness. There goes the time. It's like my producer, Freddie, says, it's getting him to shut up. That's a problem. Well, happy Thanksgiving. I know you'll probably get some downtime. I'll go see a movie here pretty soon. I'm looking forward to seeing the Napoleon movie. I know it's like 3 hours and change, but I figure with all that, what is that, that tryptophan, what is that, that sleepy things that you get with turkey? Yeah, that'd be a nice three-hour nap. And, hey, it's Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, what could go wrong? Besides, I'm just looking forward to, like, the battle scenes where, you know, they meet in the field. Entertainment note, the new Karate Kid film with the eternal Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio. He's teaming up with Jackie Chan. They got a movie in the works that's Karate Kid themed. Okay, I got to go. I better share with you this audio. Your property will not be yours. In fact, it's in the Constitution. It is in the Constitution that a specific type of your property, look it up, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. Go, Steve. I understand that Mickey Mouse, the copyright on Mickey Mouse, will expire next year. Can you imagine once the market grabs Mickey Mouse and starts doing, I don't know, maybe like slasher movies like they did with Pooh Bear? John Risvey is the patent professor, adjunct professor of patent law at Nova Southeastern Law School in Florida. I welcome him back. Professor, why is it that something that obviously is Walt Disney property, why is it that Disney can't hang on to Mickey Mouse forever? After all, this is produced by Walt Disney himself. It's a Disney property. You think that they would have the rights to something like this for eternity?
Yeah, well, first of all, when you say expiring next year, that makes it sound like it's a long ways away. It's actually January 1st, so we've got about, six more weeks of the original Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse being owned by Disney. But intellectual property was never intended to be forever. It's the constitutional basis specifically says for limited times to authors and inventors, the right to intellectual property. And the original copyright term, in fact, was just 14 years. And over the years, it's been expanded to 28 years and then 50 years after the author's death, and currently 70 years after the author's death. A lot of criticism has been against Disney for lobbying for extensions of the copyright term. But I think they're at the end of their rope at this point. There's very little hope that there's going to be any sort of congressional change to extend that copyright past 6 weeks, January 1st, 2024.
You mentioned constitutional rights, these copyrights that are limited, and there used to be a certain amount of time, and now it's different. Look, because I see this as property that is owned by the creator and eventually owned by the family or the estate. That's how I see it. Why is it that the public has a right to this when it should belong to family or an estate? I ask you this at a time when actors, voice actors, Hollywood actors, TV actors, they're fighting for their image, their voice, their style, their property. I mean, that's their talent. That's how they get paid. For that to be protected from artificial intelligence, what a strange time that we're in. Because if this intellectual property can become public property at some point, then the law has already spoken when it comes to how long individuals can protect themselves, their image, their face, their voice, can protect themselves from artificial intelligence and somebody else, some corporation profiting from their image.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you bring up good points. I mean, certainly this is different than a situation where you have AI involved, but the law is balancing the rights of the original author to profit from their creation. And of course, we've all heard the expression that, you know, an author is not really famous until they're dead. And that's, unfortunately, there's a bit of truth to that, or at least used to be a lot more truth to that. Now we see authors like, for example, like the Harry Potter series, where the authors are able to profit during their lifetime. So the copyright, and that was the basis for extending the rights to 70 years after their death. But you bring up a good point. If it's property, what makes it, there's no limit on land, right? Your estate gets to hold on to your home or apartment buildings or real estate. Those don't expire. But in the terms of copyrights, it's kind of a balance between allowing the fair exchange of ideas and creative expression, not limiting it indefinitely. But that goes to question whether that's, you know, especially in view of what's happened with Winnie the Pooh, as you pointed out. Is that the free expression of ideas that the founders intended, that the blood and honey version of beloved, characters that we all grew up with and them going feral and becoming carnivorous like this? It takes on a completely different meaning now that we see actually what's happening with the free expression of ideas when some of these characters are expiring.
Yeah, and here they come.
And Mickey Mouse is just the first of a long line of now this is the Steamboat Willie version, which is expiring in about 6 weeks. That's the Mickey Mouse without the white gloves and without the red shorts. But that's, for many people, that's the iconic image of Mickey Mouse that they envision, and Disney still plays that at the beginning of many of their films and movies and ads. So that's an important character, but even the white glove and red short version doesn't have much more life left. A little over a dozen years. On January 1st, 2036, all versions of Mickey Mouse are going to expire. And when I say it's the tip of the iceberg, we've got not far behind them Bugs Bunny, Bambi, Peter Pan, Batman, Superman. All of these are going to go into the public domain and be available for anyone. And I don't know if what we're going to see is this trend of slasher-type movies with these characters. Like perhaps
Steamboat Willie.
I mean, perhaps the public thirst for that is full. Like the Winnie the Pooh was one of the first. I mean, like how many versions of slasher characters are still going to
be? Oh, you know it's coming. They're going to, Steamboat Willie, it's going to be Screamboat Willie. You know it's somebody probably already did it, and they'll be releasing it on January 2nd once the Steamboat Willie copyright is lifted. But again, it's constitutionality of all this, codified in the Constitution, how these copyrights expire.
Yes. It's the actual duration is not codified, but the specific language for limited terms, and that's what all the discussion is about, is what's limited. And different types of intellectual property is limited differently. If you have a new idea, a patent, the patent is only good for 20 years after filing. So it's a lot shorter of a duration. Copyrights for artistic works like books and movies and characters and paintings, those have the longest duration of any intellectual property, and that's some 70 years after the author's death.
So much for the rights of property. I just find that very contradictory from the founding principles and some of the conversations founding fathers had on all this. I still see it as property for the estate, for family, for generations, but either way, all that is eventually surrendered. Thank you, Professor. The patent professor, Dr. John Rizvi, from the Nova Southeastern Law School in Florida. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. Okay, so I'm getting a bit more information from Buffalo, New York. A vehicle exploded on a bridge near Buffalo. There are some images, and of course, you got the cables now providing some of this information. Twisted metal, eyewitnesses talking to the media. They say it had something to do with a car speeding into an inspection booth on the U.S.-Canadian border at the Rainbow Bridge, Niagara Falls. And they say one person is hurt so far, and of course you got authorities on the scene, if you know what I mean. They've closed off the area. Comments from Governor Hochul, Kathy Hochul, New York governor, aware of the situation, and they're monitoring. Again, a car exploded on the bridge near Buffalo, New York, the Niagara Falls area. President Biden reflecting on the assassination of former President JFK. That's right, 60 years ago, Wednesday, November 22nd, 60 years ago. Have you given some thought of what they might say about JFK if he were still around? If JFK, with his political mindset, with his ideas, and I don't know, national defense, strong military, anti-communist, man, this dude hated communism. He, of course, also auditing the Fed and all these things, all these libertarian-minded ideas, you know, a rising tide will lift all boats, you know, decrease the size of government, decrease taxation, grow economic activity, thereby increasing revenue. All these ideas from JFK, you know, way before, you know, Ronald Reagan would champion this in the 80s. Back in the 60s, he was a champion of that. What would they say of JFK today? You think maybe the crazy leftist, Marxist, radicals, all these people would call him Hitler just like they do Donald Trump these days? 60 years ago, on November 22nd, JFK assassinated in Dallas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. You want to say hi online, you need to go to X, you know, Twitter, at Sergio Talk. Happy Thanksgiving.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
But if your flight does get delayed or canceled, know that the Department of Transportation has your back. For example, we have secured enforceable commitments from the 10 largest airlines to cover expenses for things like rebooking, meals, and more when you face delays or cancellations that are the airline's responsibility. You should also know that you are entitled to a full cash refund if your flight is canceled for any reason.
Yeah, well, something to think about. I know up northeast they got some bad weather. That might be the issue with some canceled flights. Yeah, you recognize that voice. That's Mayor Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Yeah, they might be talking about other transportation-related issues here pretty soon up in D.C., especially when it comes to international bridges. Well, by the way, I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting today from what I refer to her Southern Command here in South Texas, Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Still in Texas, blessed soil at affiliate KURV here on the U.S.-Mexican border. We're on blessed soil on the U.S. side in Texas. Yeah, we got more information coming at us up in New York. They're dealing with an explosion at an international bridge with Canada. Here, let me see if I can get the latest information. Governor Hochul, Kathy Hochul, saying that she's been briefed on the situation, a vehicle exploding on the Rainbow Bridge, Niagara Falls. Hochul saying, at her direction, New York State Police actively working with the FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Force monitoring all points of entry. She says that she's traveling to the area to meet with officials. Also, this just in, all four U.S.-Canadian border crossings in western New York are closed following that vehicle explosion at one of the bridges between Canada and the U.S. Some pictures on the cables. If you go fish with it, you're listening to The Dana Show live right now. I see Twisted Metal crews on the scene at the moment. There was a car speeding into the inspection booth. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas. This is The Dana Show.
Well, we know that there are 9 American citizens and 1 green card holder who are missing. We don't know for certain that all 10 of those people are alive. And we have been very honest about that with the American people, what we know and what we don't know. What we believe is among those 10, there are 2 women and 1 child, and we expect that they will be released in this group of 50. But again, until we actually see them, until they are actually in the arms of their family members, we cannot be certain. And we want to be straight with the American people.
Yeah, that is Jake the Snake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan, NSA, and talking about the hostages that the American government, our government knows, the Americans who are in custody of the terror group Hamas. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Safe travels if you're out there somewhere traveling among the, you know, across the fruited plains. 50 million plus people, they say, are going to be on the road today, this entire weekend, to go see family and friends. I'm Sergio Sanchez. I'm in for my friend Dana Lash. And if you want to say hi online, it's at Sergio Talk. And for all the Dana Show affiliates, God bless you all who carry Dana live this hour. I know you got, you know, the same thing I do. You got a puzzle, you got to fit programming, all sorts of ways for your audience. But for those of y'all carrying us live, third hour on this November 22nd, we got a, as it's called by the FBI, a fluid situation at the U.S.-Canadian border at one of my favorite spots that I had a chance to visit with my family, Niagara Falls. Multiple sources saying two people are dead. Car explosion at the bridge near Buffalo, New York. And there's plenty of images on the cables right now. Twisted metal, fire, smoke, black smoke. They say eyewitnesses are reportedly saying that it was a car that was speeding directly into an inspection booth at the U.S.-Canadian border. It was the Rainbow Bridge in Niagara Falls. FBI has said that this is a very fluid situation. Police have closed off the entire area. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, saying that she's aware. She's traveling to the site to get a briefing. Now, this is just me. You and I just left to speculate on what's going on. But why would the governor be going to this? I know, look, it's an explosion. It's a properly? Apparently, it might be some type of criminal incident. Again, unless the throttle on that vehicle got stuck and they couldn't stop that vehicle, I mean, it just sounds to me like somebody took a vehicle as a weapon and tried to hit a booth, an inspection booth, for some reason at the International Bridge. Why is the governor going out there? Why can't the governor just stay put in Albany and get the information that she needs on what's going on? Unless there's a strong suspicion that maybe this is some type of violent incident that needs to be further investigated by the Terrorism Task Force. There was another report I saw earlier. Let's see if I can get more information on this. There was one that said that the other bridges nearby had been closed. The New York governor is going to the situation. Where is that one that I saw? The other bridges nearby, I had it in my hand just a second ago. They said that they had been closed as well as a result of this incident. So authorities, FBI, and others working this car explosion at an international bridge near Niagara Falls, near Buffalo, New York. So we'll get you more information. Lob it over to you as we get it. More American voters support funding for security along the U.S. southern border. And by the sound of news today, maybe we might need a bit more at the northern border. I don't know, right? I'm just going to do a little connecting of the dots. It's something that's obvious, everybody's mind. I am not saying that what took place, because this is, again, if you're listening to the Dana Show later in the Thanksgiving weekend, this event is unfolding before us right now. And if you're carrying Dana live, which I encourage you, as a fellow program director, I've got the news talker here in South Texas, the champion here in South Texas, carry Dana live. She's on top of all the news. We got a great news department. Steve, Kane, everybody else behind the scenes, even up in Dallas, she's got more people working behind the scenes. It's like a standard news department. Get the breaking news to you. Coming from Washington, coming from wherever. Try to carry Dana live as much as you can during the midday. Number one talk show in the nation, the Dana Lash Show. For me, an honor to be in for Dana today. But I know it's crossing your mind, so I'm just going to connect some stories here, because this is incidents, like, let's say today's incident, as we're broadcasting this, let's say it's something that was done on purpose, ill intent, somebody attacking the federal authorities or conducting some type of attack. It could be somebody running, but I don't see any reports here of this vehicle having been chased by anyone. It's just a vehicle that slammed into this inspection station on that international bridge with Canada. FBI saying the situation is very fluid, and you got the governor running out there. Why would the governor go? Unless it's something a bit more serious that we need to look into. More American voters support funding for security along the U.S.-Mexico border. But considering the fact that Border Patrol, within the last fiscal year alone, has caught, what is it, more than 160, 170. They caught 160, 170 individuals on the terror watch list. And these terror watch list individuals, they're not Antifa. They're not radical, violent communists. They're not of other political persuasion or any ideology. They're pretty much all of them are Islamofascists, Islamic terrorists or suspected terrorists or somebody with ties or financing of terrorism, people on the terrorism watch list. And at the southern border, the very fluid, very open southern border, thanks to Joe Biden, that has pretty much, from the very beginning of his administration, sent an invitation call to the millions of people who are impoverished everywhere around the world, not only the Americas south of us, not only the Caribbean, but every from Africa, from the Middle East, they're coming at us. From China, they're coming at us by the millions. And we've had millions of people cross the border illegally, be processed by Border Patrol, and under the rules of Joe Biden, released into the American population, American, and the 48 contiguous states, to stand in line, virtually stand in line for an asylum hearing that they will likely never show up to, even though they get a court date maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road. That's the system that we have right now. And Joe Biden, forget the system being broken or fractured. Joe Biden just obliterated, allowed everybody, pretty much everybody coming into town right now to stay and game the asylum system. Now, there are a few flights, a few planes, and in fact, it's happening here in deep South Texas at the local airports. A few planes that are being filled up with liberty-loving, capitalism-defending voters who regretted putting into power centralized decision-makers in Venezuela, who are looking for an opportunity to make some money, feed themselves, and feed their family back home. You know, the Venezuelans, they're being flown out of town. Oh, we don't want those liberty-loving, capitalism-loving, freedom-defending Venezuelans. They need to go back home. That's pretty much the extent of the planes that are leaving town. Because I'm not hearing from anyone saying that they're loading up planes with people coming in from China, people coming in from the Middle East, people coming in from Central America. Yeah, there are a few flights going back to Central America as well, but it's not enough. We got millions upon millions of people that are still coming toward us in caravans, coming to the U.S.-Mexican border. 170 known individuals on the terror watch list have been taken into custody. Well, let me take a step back. Were caught by Border Patrol. See, that's another thing. I can't tell you if they're still in custody. That's another thing. 160-ish terrorism watch list individuals caught by Border Patrol. Are they still in custody? Are they at Camp X-Ray, you know, Guantanamo, Cuba thing? Where are these people that are? And the terrorism watch list, what do we do with them? I would love to have a free American press that stops to exercise its liberty and freedom to be as stupid and inefficient as they possibly can. Actually start doing some real journalism out there and start asking the folks that are in charge of holding these individuals, where are the 160-ish different individuals on the terror watch list that Border Patrol caught within the past fiscal year? Where are they? Did you throw them in the slammer somewhere? Did you put them on a plane and send them back to the Middle East or Africa, wherever they came from, advocating for their... Or did you release them into the general population just like everybody else seeking asylum in this country? Oh, Lord, I hope not. So can somebody ask that question? Can somebody please ask that question up in New York? Hello, New York. Hello, NBC, ABC, all these other cable channels. Please ask that question. Where are these people? Because of the 160-ish individuals that are on the terrorism watch list that Border Patrol caught, and we have no idea where they are right now. I don't have any idea where they are. Then it's safe to say that maybe an equal 160-ish terrorism watch list individual, I would hope that that's the most that got into this country undetected, that are out there somewhere. Lord knows what intent they have. They belong to Islamic terrorist cells, sleeper cells that are going to receive marching orders to attack America, soft targets, schools, shopping centers, churches, temple, so on and so forth. I hope it's not more than that. I hope it's not twice as many got in. Three times. We just don't know, do we? More American voters support funding security along the U.S. southern border than providing money for Ukraine, than providing money for Israel. Now, let me say this very respectfully. We cannot afford to continue spending on the Ukrainian war the way we are right now, especially with no strings attached, with no accountability, with no audits. I love Israel, and I'm a big proponent and supporter of Israel, and don't get me wrong. What I'm about to say is not anti-Semitic, it's not anti-Israel. Israel is rich. Ukraine is rich. our relationship, I believe, should be more in, look, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back in the future. Israel, I love you. We want you to survive. You're the best friend that we have. But can you consider paying these T-bills off for us in the future? And at the very least, all this negative red, in the red spending, all this deficit spending that we're involved in, can you help us pay off these T-bills? Can you buy some of these T-bills so we can send you more armaments? Why does nobody ask that? On Ukraine, Zelensky, can you send us like several ships full of grain or maybe several ships full of petrol or farm machinery? Let's be done with this. Go and defeat Vladimir Putin. Be done with it. Send, you know, kick his butt. Send him home. Send everybody home. And once we're done and you rebuild everything, hey, pay us back, will you? We were there for you. You be there for us and send us something good from your fields, from your oil fields, your agriculture fields, whatever. They're rich too. They got minerals that we need in this country. I think it should be more, we scratch your back, you scratch ours, don't you think? Right now, we're just writing checks, right, checks all over the place. It's like Dumb and Dumber. It's like we're sending a whole bunch of IOUs. Yeah, we're good for this. We're actually telling the taxpayer and the kids, we're good for this, and we're just going to spend all the money, send all the Lamborghinis over to Ukraine. If the American public, according to the most recent polling data from, and this is from NBC News that I'm telling you, NBC National Poll, 3 out of 4 Americans support funding more border security at the U.S.-Mexican border than providing money for Israel, than providing money for Ukraine, than providing money for any other foreign entanglements, any other foreign wars. We need, that sounds to me a lot like America first, doesn't it? Right? It sounds like, think of the American, the U.S.-Mexican border first, and God forbid this incident that took place November 22nd is a terrorism incident at the Canadian border, which is, man, we really only have Border Patrol. And in Texas, we got National Guard and Department of Public Safety. And God bless all the gang from Florida Public Safety, helping out volunteering in Texas. We got lots of people, lots of eyeballs and vehicles and helicopters and drones on the U.S., on the Texas-Mexico border. But in Canada, man, we got miles and miles and miles of unpatrolled area where individuals flying into Canada seeking asylum can get off a plane and just march through the woods and come into all the empty acreage of the American Midwest. And even near New York, I hope this thing in New York doesn't pan out to be some type of terrorism thing or some attack. But we're not secure. We got the FBI director. Remember him, Chris Wray, just a few days back, complaining and whining to lawmakers that he's very concerned. He's very scared about the situation, lack of security situation that we face right now because of the porous border, because we don't know who came into this country. Terrorism watch list individuals, criminals, cartels, we have no idea. Christopher Wray, the FBI, they're the ones, like right now they're responding up in Buffalo, New York. Of course, the FBI is one conducting the investigations into the sleeper cells and the potential terror networks that are out there. Find the money, find the suspects, chase all these people, and there's too many people to chase. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show. Happy Thanksgiving. Safe travels to you. You want to say hi online, you need to go to Twitter, X, you know, my neighbor Elon Musk here in Brownsville calls it X now, at Sergio Talk from her Southern Command in Southern Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, so much for my hopes that this wouldn't be a terrorist action. Bill Malugin, other folks going online already posting, they link back to, among the sources, Alexis McAdams TV on Twitter, on X, saying that police sources are confirming that the incident at the U.S.-Canadian border at that bridge, that explosion at the Rainbow Bridge border crossing in New York, was an attempted terror attack with a vehicle full of explosives. Two men in the vehicle are dead, and we are awaiting a response from Customs Border Protection. More comments from them. Man, I got a head full of questions right now. My goodness. I want to know if that car was outbound. Now, if this was customs, that means it's inbound, right? If it's customs, speeding towards customs, that's inbound. So that's probably the first answer to a question I have. my concern was, like, what was the target? This car full of explosives. And it could have been very easily, could have been the bridge, take out the bridge and send a bunch of people into the abyss below. So anyway, they're confirming, multiple sources confirming it was a terrorist attack, an attempted terrorist attack. Two individuals in the vehicle are dead. All four U.S.-Canadian border crossings in western New York are closed following this vehicle explosion. And also, as you can imagine, a reflex at airports across the nation, security is being tightened up and heightened as a result of this incident. More information as we get it. Stick around. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas. You're in tune to The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Especially the media. If the media tells you you've got something that's going to fail, it's definitely going to fucking win. The media are the dumbest, know nothing, do nothing, never fucking built nothing motherfuckers on planet Earth. So when they say it isn't going to work, you got a fucking home run, man. You know what I mean? Just jump in and grind. The media, these guys, think about who these people are. When you really think about the media, who are they? Where did they come from? Why does their opinion matter? What have they ever done? What have they ever created? What have they ever built? Who's ever depended on a paycheck from the media? Nobody. They are a bunch of fucking zeros that sit around and write stories about people who are actually doing shit.
My goodness. That's Dana White, UFC. And probably got some kids out there. Mommy, what some of these words got interrupted. What was that? I'm sorry about that. This is a family show. I'll tell you what, in a breaking news situation, though, when it's just the facts, when it's step by step, moment by moment, like facts, that's it. You can't twist them. You can't editorialize in them. You can't politicize them. Like 9/11, for example. For the most part, it's a stream of journalism and reporting consciousness. It's just coming at you. These are the facts. These are the numbers. These are the units responding. These are the casualties. Boom, boom, boom. Hurricane coverage, another example. That's what the media is good for, giving you facts. And that's what the media is supposed to give you, is just facts. And I agree with Dana White. I mean, overwhelming majority in this almost 30 years of this news, radio talk, radio journalism thing from a reporter wet behind the ears, super green when I started almost 30 years ago, to, you know, reading the news, anchoring the news, writing the news, editing the news, and the audio, being the news manager, news director, programmer, all these 30 years here in deep South Texas at the front line of news that gets ignored all the time, has been ignored for 3 decades now. And even today, with the border situation being the worst ever, we got, and I flip the channels in the morning, NBC News, they hired one of the Bush kids out there doing a morning show. They're lollygagging, talking about fashion and stupid stuff. ABC, Mr. Snuffleupagus, Stephanopoulos, talking about stupid stuff. Entertainment, what's Taylor Swift doing today? Just distracted and at the same time taking down a huge number of working people in America and just making them dumber. Oh, but when the poop hits the fan, that's when real journalism many times really takes place. Right now, we got some real journalism. As you're listening to this, maybe you're listening to the podcast version of The Dana Show later on. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, and happy Thanksgiving to you. And I hope this incident up in near Buffalo, New York, Niagara Falls, at this international bridge, what are they called? The Rainbow Bridge. It was the Rainbow Bridge, U.S.-Canadian border. A suspected terrorist incident, or maybe one that went awry. I don't think, obviously, they don't hit their target. Two individuals dead. A car exploded on the Rainbow Bridge, Niagara Falls. FBI on the scene with other local folks. FBI saying it's very fluid. Governor Kathy Hochul is traveling to the area. As soon as they said that Kathy Hochul was gone, man, behind the scenes, said, Governor, you need to get here. And we need to talk to you. I got a head full of questions. And you know what? If they do it like a press conference here before the end of the hour, I doubt it because it's still fresh. But even so, I'm going to share with you a conversation that I had with a financial planning expert, Vance Bars, here pretty soon about financial issues, security issues, the top issues that they really are never in people's minds when they go to polls. And that's how things need to change. And I just shared with you moments back how 3/4 of the American public, according to NBC News, and they're polling data, 3/4, they want more security at the U.S.-Mexican border, the southern border. Well, it looks like we're going to need more security at the U.S. northern border. And we've had nothing but lack of security, insecurity under Joe Biden, allowing millions of illegals to come into this country, millions undetected as well. Lord knows how many actual terrorists have come in. And we are vulnerable right now. We're most vulnerable. We got our guard down. How many people on your list, how many people that you love are now on a plane? How many people you love are out there on the road in packed highways, interstates, all over the country, have no idea what's going on right now? Their kids are probably watching a movie inside the little DVD system inside the van, or maybe everybody's got their face down playing video games right now. And understandably so. We want to shut down. We want to relax. We want to spend time with our loved ones, but we are vulnerable. Christopher Wray, the FBI director, he said a few days back he was very concerned on the security situation. What does he know that you don't know? What type of chatter language is he hearing from all these different channels that are out there somewhere doing surveillance on Islamo-fascist terrorist cells wanting to hit us when we are most vulnerable, when we are doing shopping on Black Friday, when we're out on the highways? What does he know that we don't? And this one car that exploded at the international bridge between the U.S., between U.S. and Canada, this Rainbow Bridge near Niagara Falls, is that the only one? Oh, okay, just be done with cleaning it up. Let's get back to eating some turkey and watching some football. Wake up, people, wake up. As a result of this administration, the Biden administration, our country is less secure now than we were 3 years ago when he started. And he did it on purpose. He allowed the open flow of unchecked people that were uninspected just come into our country. And we have what we have, and now we got to deal with FBI Director Chris Wray and his people in the field. They have to deal with it, figuring out who is where, sleeper cells, and follow this chatter. I don't think he has enough people to respond to this. Just my opinion. Again, if you're just tuning in live to The Dana Show, two people dead, car exploded on a bridge near Buffalo, New York, U.S.-Canadian border. Images, all the stuff there, the smoke, the fire, the twisted metal. It was an inspection booth. That inspection booth says to me it was inbound. They were trying to get across the border. I don't know if somebody pointed out or something suspicious. I don't know if the inspection booth was the target or, you know, that's inbound. Inspection booth, that's customs inspecting coming in. What was their target? What was their end destination? Are they alone? Who? Yeah, no wonder I'm reading headlines right now. Airports across the U.S. on high alert after that car explosion at the bridge near Buffalo, New York. All four U.S.-Canadian border crossings in Western New York are closed. Yeah, well, good. As a precaution, make sure there's no more other cars out there with explosives right now. As the FBI says, this is a fluid situation. So we got something, somebody getting behind a microphone talking. I'm going to interrupt my following conversation with you, go straight to that audio. Meantime, security is a top issue for Americans. Again, 3 out of 4 Americans thinking we need more security, southern border. Yeah, we might need it all over the place. We might need a lot more FBI and a lot more investigators out there looking for cells. But in the meantime, one thing that we never think about as a collective in America when it comes to election time are financial matters. Here's my conversation with financial pro Vance Bars. If you were paying close attention to the news last week, you noticed a report, a Census Bureau saying, we are shrinking, we're shrinking the U.S. We're not pumping out enough kids. Population might be shrinking in a few decades in our country, but we'll be going in reverse. So what does that mean for the future growth of, you know, our economy, gross domestic product, and of course all the revenue that's shaved away from all the gold that we make in order to feed the IRS and all those programs, the super expensive programs and entitlements that are costing literally hundreds of trillions of dollars over many generations. Vance Bars is your dedicated fiduciary. YDF, Vance, it's a pleasure. The immigration problem that we have right now, Vance, the flood of people coming in, some Democrats saying, hey, well, we're not having enough kids, but look, we got a bunch of people coming in by the millions and millions and millions. Yeah, we'll have enough people working, making money to feed the government in the future. What do you say?
Well, we certainly hope that that is the case. As a fiduciary financial planner, I'm very lucky to have spent thousands of hours with investors all around the country over many years. And regardless of the side of the aisle on which they sit, the collective feel, Sergio, is that everyone is for immigration. They just want people coming here and getting jobs and paying taxes versus coming in through the back door, if you will, and living off of taxpayer revenue. And you bring up a really good point on the population. I want to touch on the causal factors with respect to why we are expecting the population to decrease. And they are, in no particular order of importance, people are waiting longer to get married. Women have been entering the workforce at record numbers, the so-called boss babe movement, if you will, which is not necessarily a bad thing. We have decreased fertility rates, and the cost of living and raising a family is, as we've all experienced with respect to the inflation over the last 3 years,
yep,
very prohibitive for many. And sadly, we all realize that the American family unit, as we knew it, is no longer. And you put all that together,
mm-hmm,
and you understand why the median age in the U.S. is now 38, whereas back in 1980, it was 30.
And then you got these government programs and all these promises that they will provide for medicines and medical care and a monthly paycheck and veterans benefits and so on and so on, and retirement benefits for all these federal employees, $100+ trillion over the next generation with a shrinking workforce, a shrinking population. That math doesn't work either, Vance.
No, it really does not. So, in fact, we have 10,000 baby boomers retiring daily, and they are all expecting to get their Social Security and Medicare benefits. Newsflash, this just in, the Social Security Trust Fund is projected to be depleted by 2034. Mm-hmm. That is per the Treasury Department's own annual trustees report. 67 million Americans are relying on this. Now, you bring up an interesting point with respect to the overall expense. My largest concern, Sergio, is the interest rate expense on our debt.
Yes, sir.
That's because the current debt is at 8% of GDP. And if this remains the same, and I'm going to get a little technical here, but indulge me. If this 8% of GDP remains the same at 6% interest rates, we are projected to have an interest expense that is 40% of tax revenue. Worse,
yikes,
if there's a recession and the debt becomes 12% of GDP,
Lord help us,
the interest expense is projected to be roughly 70% of tax revenue. So think about that. Houston, we have a problem.
That scenario. Wow.
It threatens the mandatory spending on things like, defense and third rail entitlements such as Social Security and care.
Man, you're starting to spit out some Greek numbers. Like, they're like Greece. Literally, we're going to be underwater sometime the next generation and a half or sooner as a result of this. From your dedicated fiduciary, Vance Barse is my guest. We're looking at the trillions of dollars in debt, the interest payment on that alone, which is, they say at the moment, is more than we're paying for defense, is ridiculous. And I understand the math is pretty simple, but in your quick one-minute explanation of this, which I think everyone should hear in this country, especially during election time, people don't think about this stuff. At election time, when it counts, sending people to Washington that are going to rein in spending and try to get us closer to the black. I don't know if they actually can, but they need to get us there if our country is expected to survive for our kids and our grandkids. But people don't think about this during election time.
That's right. Ultimately, Sergio, demographics are destiny. And when we pair the demographics with the interest expense, there is no better time for our elected leaders to put their heads together on behalf of we, the American people, to proactively address this instead of waiting until the 11th hour, which seems to be the MO.
Yeah.
I am hopeful that with appropriate reform and spending modification and also the resurgence of the American family unit, that we can, in fact, solve this problem.
I'm not. I've seen
it's good to have gold.
I've seen the voters go crazy, the leftists, the socialists, the do not touch anything that is government, that is growing. That crowd convince all these Social Security recipients and just instill fear to the point where, I'm remembering George W. Bush And one of the few good things that he tried to do back then was try to protect the Social Security system so that it would be around for everybody. You pay into it. You got your own account. You're able to bequeath that to your children. It's yours. You paid into it. You keep going at a guaranteed rate, protected, always guaranteed. Oh, no. The left went crazy and said, oh, they're going after your Social Security check. They're going to destroy the Social Security system. And nothing came of it in order to protect it because people went crazy at the polls. And they just listened to all the lies. They don't want to touch it at all. But come 2034, 2035, if indeed it runs out of money or supposed to run out of money, then and only then are we going to react, I believe, as a nation. And by then it's going to be too late. I think you're going to see cuts all over the place or, I don't know, maybe even more taxes. People will finally vote themselves into taxation death. Vote a bunch of politicians in there that will tax everybody into taxation death as a result.
I can hear the collective boo in the back respect to higher taxes. But you're right. Increasing taxation is one of the options on the table. I think it's best that we increase fertility rates and bring back some core values and affordability with respect to housing and cost of living. I'm hopeful that the elevated inflation that we have experienced will finally normalize somewhere around 3%. That is historically the norm, by the way. And with that, we'll be able to fund some of these programs that are really third rail topics. Because if we don't, people move at the speed of pain and we'll potentially see a lot of unrest, but certainly a lot of discourse and disagreements.
So what's the plan for Thanksgiving, Vance? You going away to see family? Attitude. They're coming to you or what?
Attitude of gratitude. So we have a lot of family getting together. And I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about all of this for one day, and I can take a pause and focus on that which matters most.
All right, amigo. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and be safe. We'll call you again.
You too, Sergio. Thank you.
Your dedicated fiduciary, Vance Barrs. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting to you from deep South Texas. Dana's in North Texas. I'm in South Texas, and we're going to pay some bills, come on back, and end this version of the program. I'm filling in for Dana today, and you just stay tuned in case we need to come back to the mic. We will over the next several days, but I'm kind of hoping that this is just a water droplet in hot grease, just one incident. Again, if you're just joining us, an incident at New York International Bridge linking Canada, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, back to Canada. Looks like two individuals are dead. Car full of explosives, and it exploded at the inspection station. That, to me, says inbound, coming to the U.S. FBI on the scene. Governor Kathy Hochul on the way. I'll get you the latest information as we see coming at us before the end of the program. I'm Sergio Sanchez. I'd like to say happy Thanksgiving, and I hope it is a happy Thanksgiving for everybody. This is The Dana Show.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Every time I hear that, I just say, we need more cowbell, more cowbell. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show, broadcasting to you from South Texas. We're still on blessed soil in Texas. You want to say hi online on X, it's at Sergio Talk. The affiliate, KURV.com. It's Sergio at KURV.com. So what we know so far, as this broadcast was put together on November 22nd, midday, several sources saying two individuals are dead. Car exploded at the U.S.-Canadian border crossing near Buffalo, New York, at the Rainbow Bridge. Governor of New York headed that way. Local authorities working with the FBI. Fluid situation. And they say, multiple sources saying that this is could be terrorism-related. Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. Have a safe and happy Thanksgiving.